Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
This morning, I am sharing a message that's on my heart, and it was risky for me to say, yeah, I'll preach for you if you want, Simon, but I'm really excited and God's come through. But before I get into it, who loved last week's message, Secret to Success, that Simon shared? That was so good. And if you haven't already listened to it, you can check that out online, listen to the podcast or watch the live stream video on renewchurch.nz. And I really encourage you to listen to it. The 4 points Simon made about the secret to success were: 1, discover who you really are; 2, discover what you are called to do; 3, do it well; and 4, don't be the hero of the story. And I feel like this message that I'm going to share this morning is an awesome follow-on to that message. Because if we don't know who we are or what we've called to do, it can be really hard to like confidently live your life. And life is so filled with ups and downs. And you know, how can I know what I should be doing with my life in this current season? So we're going to look at that this morning, and my message this morning is called What is in Your Hand? And that's like a really cool hip graphic that our designer made. What is in your hand? And it's such a good question. So to understand and unpack this morning, I want to take us through 3 different Bible stories. And I really pray that God speaks to us through them. So let's pray before I get into it. Father, I thank you for this morning. It's so good to be here, to hang out with my church family. And as we open your word this morning and as I share, I just pray that you would help us discover even more who we are, what you've called us to do, that you would speak powerfully to every person here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'm going to start off with the story of Moses' staff. It's a really weird thing how when you get up to speak and you're nervous, you get a really dry mouth. So excuse me. I'm just going to have a drink. Who loves props? I brought along some props this morning. My dad has the most amazing walking stick collection. He has walking sticks. One has like a scorpion, a real scorpion in the top. One has like a secret vial. One has a dagger. I probably shouldn't say that. He's got some really cool ones. So I raided my dad's walking stick collection. And the first thing we're going to look at is Moses' staff this morning. And the context of the story is God has plans and purposes for your life. Every single person. Ordinary, everyday people like you and me and Moses. And many of you know the story of Moses. You know, a traditional kid's story, this little baby that was put in a basket in the river. All the babies were being killed, but he was rescued by an Egyptian princess and brought up in the palace. And then his life got a bit crazy. He ended up murdering someone, running away from God's plan. And where we find him here in this story is he's in the wilderness. He's looking after his father-in-law's sheep. Just an everyday job, hiding away in the wilderness, looking after his father-in-law's sheep. But God turns up and speaks to him from a burning bush. And Moses was so terrified, but God had something for him to do. So we're going to pick it up in Exodus 3, verse 7 to 12. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God turned up in an extraordinary way, like a burning bush. It's crazy. And he'd seen the suffering of the people. He wanted to rescue them from the Egyptians. Like, that's such good news. But Moses, straight away, he just said, who am I? Like, why me, God? Why would you choose me? And God reassured him, I am going to be with you. But it goes on, and I so relate to Moses here. He starts to worry about the details. Does anyone here worry about the details? You're already thinking of everything that could go wrong, every possible scenario. So he starts to worry about the details, and he asks certain questions like, what if they say this to me? What do I say? So God says, this is what you can reply. And he just continues to worry, and I think God's trying to show him, I've got the details covered. And it's something we need to remember. But he tells Moses the end of the story first, like, I'm going to be with you. You will be successful. This is going to happen. You're going to be favored by the people. You're going to leave with amazing things. But Moses is so consumed with the worst case scenario. But in the end, this is what happens in Exodus 4, verse 1 to 5. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. A staff. And God said to him, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. It's a really cool story. I'm sorry I don't have like the special skills to like turn this into a snake this morning. But here was Moses in chapter 3 at the start. He was in the wilderness. He was looking after his father's sheep. Like, you don't get many Instagram followers doing that. It's not like a cool thing to do. You're out there, it's lonely. He was just doing his job. And it's a hard type of work. It reminds me of parenting. Any parents out there? It's hard work. And I think it could be really boring. Like, is anyone in a boring office job at the moment? I'm not, I just, it's like, example. It's unseen when you're out there, like people care type work, like no one sees what you're doing behind the door, looking after people day in, day out. There's not much thanks, there's not much fame. And being a shepherd at times was really dangerous as well. Yet God appeared in the midst of it all to talk to Moses. And I think just on a side note, it's really important to remember that God loves to talk to you when you're in your everyday job, doing everyday normal things. That's when he loves to talk to you. So God appeared to him, and he told him what he wants him to do. And what does Moses say? He complains, and he sidesteps. And I think often when God asks us to do things, or we feel like God's prompting us to do something, we make excuses. We point out our weaknesses to him, like God's not aware of our weaknesses. The crazy thing, he totally knows your every weakness and flaw, but he loves to use you still, despite that. So God asked him, what is in your hand? God wanted to use what was in his hand. It was a normal everyday thing, something to do with his work, a normal everyday thing, but God wanted to use it. All he required was boldness, trust, and faith, and God did the rest. I want to read you this really cool quote. Moses had been carrying around that ordinary piece of wood for many years, and nothing dramatic had happened as a result. But after Moses surrendered the wooden rod to the Lord, it amazingly became the rod of God. Instead of merely the rod of Moses, no longer a mere piece of wood, this rod enabled Moses to part the Red Sea, bring water out of a rock, and defeat enemy armies. What is in your hand, my friend? Money, time, possessions, influence, some kind of special God-given aptitude. If you're honest, the thing in your hand probably seems totally inadequate to meet the needs around you. However, you'll be amazed by what can happen when you surrender it to God. I really want to encourage you that God wants you to live an extraordinary life. And we just so often we look around at our ordinary life, you know, that 9-to-5 job, the everyday chores at home. You look at your small skill set of things that you can do and you compare yourself to someone else's massive skill set of things. You may be looking at your struggles and your weaknesses and your flaws or your past full of shame, but maybe God is actually saying to you, what's in your hand? What have you got in your hand? What if the thing God has called you to do right now in this season in your life involves the thing that is in your hand? I so relate to this because I think I'm a pretty ordinary girl growing up. I was very shy and had my struggles and weaknesses, although my parents don't probably think I was shy at home. I was quite loud and naughty. But if I have the option even now, I would happily sit in the background. But I've constantly felt the need and nudge from God to just offer what's in my hand, no matter how ordinary it is. So as a young person, I was asked to do the petty cash at youth group. And like, does anyone even have petty cash nowadays? I don't know. But I was like, yeah, I'm not that great at that, but I can do that. Or would you like to like look after the overhead projector things? Does anyone know what that is? I'm showing my age. Like, that took a lot of skill, guys. There were these things that shone up there and you had to move the thing. But I constantly, in my inadequacy, in my awkwardness, would say, yeah, I can do that. I'm not that great. Someone else is way better at that than me, but I can do that. I'll just offer what I've got in my hand. And I've had to learn to give up my excuses and fears, especially when I was like, do you want me to preach, Simon? This is like my worst nightmare. 1 week to prep, but I'll offer what I've got. Because I'll step up to that opportunity when I feel God's got that nudge. I will offer this plain wooden stick in my hand because you could probably do something amazing with that. And I want to encourage you about that this morning. You may not have a stick in your hand, but what do you have? What do you have in your hand? And if you're struggling to know what God wants you to do or how he can use you for his plans, start looking at what's in your hand. That ordinary thing might actually be the answer, so don't despise it. So we've looked at Moses this morning, and the thing I want you to remember about the story of Moses is what's in your hand. But now we're going to look at a really cool story about the loaves and the fishes. And this is a story in the New Testament when Jesus was walking around. He did amazing things. He spoke words that just blew people away. He told parables and stories. He was relatable. He approached the unapproachable. And wherever he went, the miraculous happened. People were healed and set free. So wherever he went, crowds followed him. And I feel sorry for him. I can see why he'd sneak away in the night or early in the morning to spend some time alone and pray, because wherever he went, he was so popular. He would have had a huge Instagram following. But we're going to pick it up at John 6, verse 2 to 3. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. And turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. So that's not including the women and children. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled the 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. I love this story because once again we have a situation where God wanted to do something amazing. There were thousands of hungry people. Like it said, 5,000 men. So imagine women and children as well. It could have easily been doubled. And Jesus wanted them to be fed, but he wanted to also stretch the disciples' faith. And I believe God wants to do that with us so often. And in verse 9, we read this phrase. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? It's really hard in whangarei to find fish props, unless you get real ones. Like, I wanted to find some really cute stuffed fish, and I thought I could get 5 loaves, and I could get 2 real fish, but I'd get smelly hands. But I did solve the problem. I was able to actually get 4 buns and 2 fish. Got some fillet fish here this morning. You wouldn't want to eat them because they've been in the fridge and they're like old. But this is the little boy's lunch. Some fillet fish, not very healthy. I'm not sponsored by McDonald's. But what good is that? We started the story with the staff of Moses, and you know, you might say to me, Christy, I can see what's in my hand. Okay, you're asking me what's in my hand. Like, I can see the opportunity, or I can see my job, or I can see this gift I've got. But then you may be thinking, I can see it. I can see what's in my hand. But what good is that? What good is that? I mean, seriously, what good is that with this huge problem that I have in front of me? What good is that with this huge need that I have? What good is that with this thing I feel God's wanting me to do? We've actually moved now from realizing what's in our hand to looking at it and saying, what good is that? What good is that? You may have something that you know you've got in your hand, but it's so ordinary. But an ordinary lunch consisting of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, when they were put in the hands of Jesus, something amazing happened. And God loves using ordinary things. Hands up if you're ordinary. Yeah. He loves using ordinary things. And like Moses' staff, maybe it's the tools of your trade or your job. Like Moses' staff, he was out doing his job. Maybe for you it's a hammer or a computer. Maybe it's a whiteboard marker or a vehicle, a pair of scissors, a mop or a broom, a clipboard, a guitar, a sewing machine, yay for crafty girls, a tractor, a spade, just all ordinary things. But who knows what God could do with those when you offer them to him. What good is that, you may think, but look what he did with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe it's a skill you possess, or an opportunity that's come your way, or people that you influence on a daily basis. Like the boy with the lunch, it might just be a totally normal everyday thing. It might be food that you have, or spare change that you have. It might be a word of encouragement spoken to someone. It might be a hug or your story of hope shared. It might be a bed for the night or a hot meal on the table for someone. It might be a listening ear or a pen put to paper. Totally ordinary, but God could supernaturally use that to do something amazing. For some of you, your day is filled with dishes and laundry. I was just thinking, I can't put my hand up for those because my kids do those things. Dishes, laundry, cleaning. You may look in your hand and all you see is a dirty nappy right now in this phase of your life, or someone that's needing help. What good is that, you may think? But imagine what God can do with little things when they're offered to him. Dr. Ralph Wilson said this, sometimes we just need to take an inventory. When Jesus sees a hungry crowd, he says to his disciples, you feed them. They are stunned by the magnitude of the need, so Jesus brings it down to their level. Okay, Andrew, do a little inventory. Find out what food we have on hand. Andrew checks around. There's a boy here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So what? Jesus ignores his unbelief. He takes the bread and the fish, lifts them to God in thanksgiving, and then begins to distribute them to the people until all 5,000 plus women and children have been fed. That's how God works to get things done, by weak people doing an inventory, then offering to Jesus what they find. God has a world to save. You're just one person. What difference can you make? I encourage you to do this simple inventory. Count up your blessings. See what God has given you. That way, when God asks you, what's that in your hand? You won't answer, duh. But you'll be able to tell him, and then you can let him use that gift or that skill or that resource or that interest or that relationship, that opportunity to his glory. I really love that quote. Look what he can do when he breathes upon our little. Something amazing. Who said during that? What good is that? It's not much, but when it's offered to God, it becomes something phenomenal. So from the story of Moses, we've learned, what is in your hand? God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And with the story of the disciples, they said, what good is this? But then Jesus did something amazing. And the third story I want to look at this morning is the widow's oil. And I really feel for this lady, like the context of the story, her husband has died and she's got debtors coming to her door, so that she owes money, and they're actually threatening to take her two sons away as slaves. And my mother's heart's just like, that's the worst case scenario. And she was so desperate, so she came to Elisha the prophet and she said, can you please help me? And we'll read it in 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. One day a widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil, she replied. And Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. And soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. I think that's such a cool story. And she had this beautiful flask of olive oil. This morning I have a giant plastic bottle of canola oil. Once again, we've got a situation where there is a desperate need. And the prophet Elisha didn't actually ask her, what's in your hand? He said, what's in your house? She obviously had no money. She was desperate. Her sons could have been taken as slaves. But he asked in verse 2, what do you have in your house? And she said, I've got nothing but a flask of olive oil. She had nothing but a flask of olive oil. It was something. It was something like the lunch and the staff. Just something she had, nothing major. With the story of Moses, God said, what's in your hand? And with the story of the loaves and fishes, they looked at what was in their hand and they said, what could God do with this? But with the story of the woman with the oil, something had to happen before the miracle took place. Something had to happen before the miracle took place. She had to actually pour out what she had. She had to lay it down. She had to pour it out. And with every one of the three stories this morning, there was a what's in your hand or house moment. There was the what's in your hand with the staff. There was the what have you got with the loaves and fishes, and there's the what's in your house. And usually they aren't amazing at first, because we've actually just got a stick here, some fish, some buns and some oil. They're not really that flash. And God has given us all simple talents and gifts in our lives and opportunities. But in every one of these moments, there was actually a key moment that happened with Moses. Before this became something amazing, he had to lay it down. And in Moses' case, it said he threw it down. He had to lay it down. With the loaves and the fish, they actually had to be broken and given away before the miracle happened. And with the oil, it had to be poured out. And I really want you to listen carefully this morning. Sometimes, and I've done this before, you might realize, actually, I've got something pretty special in my hand. It's pretty cool. I can see its potential. I can see its purpose. But we forget the crucial point. Actually, I need to lay this down. I need to lay this down and offer it to God and give it to Him. It's not mine to keep. For God to use what we have, we must first lay it down. The thing in our hand laid down as an offering to Him before we pick it up. The staff laid down. The loaves and fish broken and given away. The oil poured out. And I want you to think of a seed. For a seed to grow, it actually needs to be buried in the ground. It needs to die to its life as a seed, to live as its life as a plant. And when you don't release the seed, it's never going to grow. It has to be released. And I think we often only see the fruits and the gifts and the opportunities and abilities, we see the fruits of those things when we've laid them down to die at the cross. Because here is where we offer what we have, and here, when that happens, is where the miracle takes place. And it's challenging. It's challenging to think, yeah, the miracle takes place when I lay it down. And I was thinking, some of you might actually be thinking, Christy, I actually feel like I am dying in my current job. Like, I'm dead. I'm already like that seed in the ground, and it's so boring, or my situation's so tough. It's really hard. You may think you've got no purpose, but don't forget, when you invite God into that situation afresh, something amazing can start to happen. Without God, things stay ordinary and plain. But with Him, amazing things happen. Changes can happen. Miraculous things can happen when you lay it down at His feet. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you feel like you've got a circumstance where you're like, what, you know, what good is this? Or even, this is too hard. It's too boring. It's too difficult. What if you invited God back into that situation? What if He said, I invite you into my boring, hard job? I invite you into this difficult relationship. I invite you to use this useless little thing that I can do or this opportunity that I have. Imagine what would happen if we invited Him back into those situations. He wants to inject new life once again upon those things. He wants to get involved. And it's time you lay them down afresh and pick them back up with like His power and His authority. And it's amazing when I look at the three stories today, the heroes weren't ever the staff or the loaves and the fish or the oil. The hero never was Moses or the disciples or the little boy who brought the lunch. He wasn't the hero. The hero wasn't the widow or it wasn't Elisha. The hero was always God. He is the hero. He is the one that can take amazing, useless, broken, ordinary things and do something awesome with them. That's the miracle there. He is the hero. And I just want to encourage you and remind you of that today. Is He asking you to give something back to Him or lay something down or offer up the little that you have? Bianca Althoff said this amazing passage here. We know Moses has a shepherd's staff in his hand, a dead thing, but then he laid it down and it became a snake. A dead thing becomes a living thing and a dangerous thing at that. So dangerous, in fact, that Moses actually runs from it. God says to pick it up again and it becomes a dead thing again. Before we discover what God has created for us, we must be willing to lay down our income, lay down our status, lay down our perfection, lay down our finances, lay down our children, lay down our relationships, lay down our self-pursuits. Just like God told Moses, I believe God is telling people today to lay it down. Will you not lay down your identity? Many of us are defined by our job, our education, our financial status, or our marital status. But Galatians 2:19 reminds us that I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Yes, it's no longer about me, but rather Christ who lives in me. God is saying, let me be the one to give you identity. Find your identity in me. We will never know the full potential of what we have until we allow God to have full control of it. So I'm going to have the band up and we're just going to conclude this morning. But I really want to encourage you to remember three important things from this morning. When you think about the story of Moses with the staff, remember, is God saying to you in your life, what is in your hand? You may feel like, what even am I doing with my life right now? I have no purpose. I feel confused. Maybe God's just saying, well, what have you got in your hand? It may be really simple, but what have you got that you can work with right now? Maybe, like the story, when you think of the story of the five loaves and the two fishes, you're actually looking at that thing and saying, well, what good is that? But I want you to remember, God can do something absolutely amazing with the things that we don't think are much good when we offer them to him. And lastly, when you remember the story of the widow with the oil, I want you to remember that before God can do something amazing, we need to pour out or lay down or offer him what we have. And you might be here this morning and you might think, I don't even know this Jesus or God that you're talking about. But I want to tell you that he loves you and he has amazing plans and purposes for your life. And he thinks you are amazing. But maybe he's saying, do you want to come to me? Come to me and lay down your life to me. And I will give you new purpose. I will wash away your shame. I will give you hope. I will wash away your sins. You will find freedom in me. But come, lay down your life to me. I love that God loves to use ordinary, simple, everyday people. And if you're feeling condemned that you're not enough or that you're not that great, it's a really good time, because I struggle with those continually, to just say, well, God, I offer what I've got, what I have to offer to you. And it's quite a powerful place to be in. It's really freeing, actually, to actually stop all the striving in your life, put off all those false expectations and say, God, here I am, ordinary me. And I offer you what I have. And if that's the one thing you take away from this morning, I think it can be quite life-changing and freeing. In your jobs, in your home, in the streets, just saying, Lord, I offer what I've got to you. And know that he can do something absolutely amazing. When you offer your broken bits of bread, your plain old stick, that little bit of oil that you've got left, when you offer it to him, God can do something amazing. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that such a powerful, amazing God who created the heavens and the earth cares about our little lives. You care and you notice that, Lord, you can use ordinary people like us, and that just blows me away. You see our struggles, you know our weaknesses, but you're like, yep, offer what you have and I will use you.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.